Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi guys and welcome to this week's Snowcast. We're here in Tully's Bar, rushing the snug this week, which we're very excited about. We've pissed in our territory there by slapping a sticker up in the snug. Boys don't mind, we're covering a bit of slack paint on.
Yeah, sure. Look, I told you to look, this place was kind of getting run down, like, but I'm actually very excited to be once in a snug. Like, we've been in a snug every now and again, but like, God, this is where we live. Like, this is what we're all about.
This is our bread and butter. Like we grew up in Philly snug, and then we've kind of created a semi-synthetic, like a pseudo snug in Grady's yard. We didn't get to record in Davy's snug or Walsh's in the 12 snugs, but we're here anyway, lads. We're flying. That great noise you can hear in the background is the Liverpool Bayern Munich match. We're listening to that here, and we're listening to that. Oh, she's nearly in.
Oh.
Sorry, lads, false alarm.
I think there's going to be a lot of that tonight.
Yeah, there'll be a few jitters. Y'all know I'm an avid Liverpool fan, and they're playing Bayern Munich at the moment. Tetchy affair, it's about half time. Right, so we're here tonight in Tully's, in the snug, and we're joined tonight by a very special guest. For the first time on the Snowcast, we have Smurf, top man from the Thirsty Thursday show and from Open Tempo FM. Owen thought I was talking about him for a second, he got excited. I see you fucking every day. So joined here tonight by Smurf from the Thirsty Thursday show, Open Tempo FM, top man, comedian, musician, bit of a jack of all trades. So Smurf, welcome to the Snowcast.
Thanks very much, lads. Look, we've been flirting for too long on Instagram that this eventually had to happen. So deadly dice.
You're such a brick tease,
Instagram is the new grinder for podcasts.
Oh my god, your podcast is so good. You should be on my podcast. You should be on your podcast.
It was a bit like that for a couple of months, and then we kept just passing chips and stuff like that, and one thing led to another. But we're very welcome, man. As you know by now, introduction to the Snowcast is always along the same lines. Smurf, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm on the Yellow Belly Castaway, because I was saying to the lads, I've been gigging out me fucking ears, and whenever I'm gigging I don't drink, so I'm usually on points against myself, but I said I'd go for something different, something to kind of get the palate going. So grapefruit and sour and all that kind of crap. So then, lovely point.
Yeah, I mean, you're the exact opposite to us. Like, you're professional. When you're gigging, you don't drink. Like, we literally can't start the podcast without having a drink first. Like, we've the 1 pint limit. So you're on a 1 pint. Fucking here, boy.
I came on this podcast because I thought it was all about beer, so I
thought
I was just going to get
in the heart. No, that's not it at all. Don't listen to episode 5. So we're here in Tully's in the snug. So Smurf's on the Castaway Yellow by Yellow Belly. Owen, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm on a super dry Brut, or Brut, I don't know, how do you pronounce it?
I say Brut.
Brut. IPA.
Like the Owl Lads spray.
Spray, yeah. Anyway, I'm on the Brut. IPA by Blacks of Kinsale. I tell you what, right? The first time I like started drinking kind of craft beers, or like when you know when you start first craft beer you get, because obviously when you're 16, 17, 18, you're on the Dutch Gold, you're on the Fosters, you know, you're on the
Galahad,
you're on the Carpaki or the Car Park.
Tesco was handier for us, so we went on the Carpaki, but Galahad, Carpaki.
Do you remember the...
It's the little bodies.
The little, like, and always, they had a member, like Dunn's and Tesco, little French beers.
It wasn't Stella, it was...
No.
Beer Adore. Horrific stuff.
Absolute,
like, worst hangover ever.
Yeah, so are they craft beers?
No.
They're crafty, that's what they are, they're fucking crafty bastards.
But anyway, what I was going to say was that, like, when you're starting off, when I started off with craft beers, whatever, the real like strong blow the head off you kind of like hoppy kind of stuff, like, tell you now, this Brut IPA is a 6.7% right, and like it goes down like a treat, like, do you know, like, no, like, really, really light. Yeah, go for it. Really tasty, like.
She smells lovely anyway.
Yeah.
Fierce fruity aroma. She's very dry, clean finish.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't think she was a half bottle of wine, like, no, you know? No. So, like, here, it's like, I'm telling you, get on the stuff. Brilliant. So, DJ, on to you. What are you drinking there tonight?
Before I tell you, I just want to make a point, like, Blacks of Kinsale, like, they come out with some absolute bangers, like, they're fucking brilliant. We should get on to them and try and get down to Kinsale.
Yeah, yeah.
Spend a night in the White Lady.
We'd go anywhere.
I'm on, tonight on, I am on the Dakota. Dakota is by the Sonic Water Brewing Company. It's American Nitro Stout. It's actually very similar to Left Hand Brewing Nitro Stout. Do you want to sip?
Yeah, please.
Very similar to the Nitro Stout. It's very very creamy, hint of coffee there. Lovely little aftertaste on a palate. Smurf, have a sip of that there and tell me what you think of it.
I'm going to be kind of corrupted by like the sourness of everything else here now, but...
Oh, your taste buds are probably live.
Yeah, there's really, really nice kind of the coffee really comes through in it. But like, and this is the thing, I actually don't actually like coffee myself. I don't drink coffee normally or anything like that. But I like it when it's that kind of subtle flavor in the stout and stuff like that.
But it's not overpowering. Like, I think I love the Dungarvan coffee and chocolate stout, but like it is a bit heavy on the coffee, and I like coffee, but I can see, you know, someone who doesn't love coffee would be a bit kind of like a bit overkill here now, like with the coffee. So I like, but that is very subtle, and it's a lovely little, it's just a little tiny little bitterness that fucking really lightens the palate up, and then it's so, there's a lovely little finish there. It's still,
yeah, you can get it in the aftertaste. Yeah, like, towards, like, they always say, like, when you're tasting beers, it's tip of your tongue, back your throat as well, but there's a nice flavour that builds off of that after as well. And like I say, even for someone who doesn't like coffee particularly, it does actually kind of linger nicely and not kind of like strong killer taste buds, you know.
Just kind of hits a little bitter notes on your tongue there, just a little bit. It's very subtle, very nice, yeah. So, geez, we have a lovely round of drinks. Fairness, like, every time we come into Tully's, there's a great selection on. Like, they're never short of anything, they're fucking top men.
It's a savage atmosphere as well here. Like, I think, like, every night we've come in here so far, it's been like we've had like live music on, even here tonight, like watching a match and stuff. Like, it's not like you wouldn't consider this a match bar, do you know what I mean? But like, this is fucking lovely atmosphere now. We have a snow to ourselves with like perfect view of the thing, and like, I don't know, it's like there's some people in here not watching the match, like, you know, like there's other people just kind of like sitting up at the bar and stuff. Like, I don't know, this is quality. Like, nice lit candle at the table. Could be romantic.
I always say kind of like Tully's is a bit of an all-rounder, because you do get it, like, I have to say personally, because I know a lot of lads who play music here, they get the top quality musicians here. Like, in terms of like the beer selection, there's always something, like, if you're up for it, there's always something really good up the top of the bar, and it's always constantly changing, and there's always like a beer of the day and all that, and they do their seasonal beers really well. But then, like I say, if you're not interested in watching a match, you don't have 40 lads in here screaming and bawling at Jenny. People coming in who are just genuinely interested to watch the match. Like us, like, we've been sitting in here like the last, what, 20 minutes, half an hour, chatting away between ourselves about the match as it's going on, you know what I mean? But just like kind of an atmosphere within ourselves.
It's actually, it's lovely. Now, like, the speaker is right next to us, so it's not too conducive to a podcast, but it's just a good flavour for you guys listening at home or listening in a car wherever you are, of just the lovely ambience and atmosphere it is to watch a match. Because I love going to a pub to watch a match, and sometimes I feel like, you know, the people, especially sometimes they have the big screen, which is great if you're sitting far away, but the quality isn't good and stuff. Just have a good TV, good beer, lovely snug candlelit here, fucking the three lads, bit of bromance going on, and it's just a fucking it's a lovely setting. But we're here anyway, joined by Smurf tonight, and just before we get into the nitty gritty of tonight's Snugcast, Smurf, I just want to ask you a few bits about your own stuff that you've got going on. So I'd love to know, how did the Thirsty Thursday show come about?
So it's a bit of a kind of a long-winded one, so it kind of ties in with how I started with stand-up and stuff like that. So
we need to fill content.
Yeah, no, that's great.
The stand-up comes in.
Well, I'll brush over that when we go into that. So I was doing like stand-up comedy gigs and stuff around Watford, and then we ended up kind of running a gig, and we need to promote it, obviously. And somebody knew someone out of Open Tempo, and we went, "Deadly, let's get on your show, let's have a chat about stand-up comedy and promote gigs." They were like, sweet, cool. So it was like me and two other dudes, and we went up, and everything was grand, chatting with your man. Just kind of went, "Look, we're on FM radio, mind your P's and Q's, no swearing and stuff like that." It's different than podcasts where you can kind of F and blind, do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah, it's fucking great. I can feel the freedom already coming over me. It's great. But and that was grand. But then we went up and done it. It was me and two other guys, and the two lads effed and fucking blinded out their fucking ears, like, do you know what I mean? And then we kind of got on to your man again, being like, "Hey, we're doing another gig, can we come up and promote it?" And he was like, "Yeah, but the two boys can't come, it's only Murph, because Murph's the only fella up here who wasn't fucking swearing or doing that. He's the fella who followed the rules." Lads like, "Yeah, okay, cool, no bar." And then I ended up getting known a couple of guys through Open Tempo, ended up featuring on loads of different shows and all that kind of stuff. That was cool. And then one lad's like, "Listen, I'm going to America for 6 weeks, do you want to fill in my slot?" And I'm one of those people, I say yes before I think about the fucking question. Yeah. So I said yes, knew nothing about doing a radio show, ended up going up there, filling your man 6 weeks, people liked it. So then I ended up, it didn't actually start on a Thursday. It was actually originally called the Saturday Morning Cure, and it used to be at 10 o'clock on a Saturday, which used to be a fucking disaster, because Friday night out in the beer going bananas, whatever, and then I'd wake up at like 9:30 and be like, "Oh, what's going on?" What used to be worse is if I was down the town and I pulled a girl, I used to have to be tender, "Yeah, I have to go do a radio show in the morning, so you'll have to head over." And she'd be like, "Oh yeah, whatever, what a bullshit excuse." And then I'd be there at like 9:30 in the morning, be like, "Yeah, you have to head up," and she's like, "This is fucking bullshit." I had to pull out like the Facebook page. Like, it's real, look, it's real.
I used to happen every week.
But so we ended up doing that for, and then eventually I was like, "Lads, I need to swap over to a fucking an evening slot." So they swapped us into the Thursday show. Myself and my brother ended up doing it, and then we kind of found he'd be working on a Thursday evening, or I'm off fucking doing a gig or something like that. So then we brought a load of other people. So it's actually six of us involved now. So we brought one of our mates, Amy, who is lover to bits, very, very dear friend of mine, put me to bed the other weekend, like a legend, a session head, the same as myself. She does a lot of technical stuff for us now, and there's my brother obviously in the studio as well. And then we have three people that phone in as contributors. So we have Mark the Dub, who is obviously a lad that's mates with us, and he's a dub. And then we have two comedians, Sean Marshall and Therese Cal. They call in every week, we just talk about loads of different shit. But the cool thing about it is, because like I see like with your show, you do like a revolving kind of cast of people, and you can see like it helps kind of change up the content of what you do all the time. So all your shows are totally different, and that helps with us as well. But the big thing is that, say I'm off doing a gig and somebody else is doing something, there's still like 3-4 people to do a show, you know. So that's kind of how all that built out.
No, excellent, because like the great thing about it is he put it out as a podcast about it, because like Thursday 6 to 8 I'm usually preparing for this or doing something else, so I don't have time to tune in. So usually for me it's catching up on a Friday if I'm in work and have access to a podcast and throw it on, or the weekend driving somewhere. So like it's a lovely format because you can catch up, like it's a great show to listen to. And any of our listeners who have a couple of hours free a week and you're saying, "Geez, I need to find a new podcast to fill that gap," Thirsty Thursday show is a great way to start. And fuck it, lads. We love the buggy because I do enjoy listening. Really do. You can tell that you I hope it comes across when you listen to this show that we really enjoy doing it and we actually enjoy each other's company, but it seems the exact same kind of vibe in the Thirsty Thursday show.
Yeah, I mean, the huge thing about it is that, like I said, the real kind of core of it, was me doing it by myself, but then I brought my brother in, and people really enjoyed that because it's me and my brother. There's only, a year between us. We obviously have this, really cool kind of LinkedIn thing that we know each other's talking about, but we get these great arguments and stuff, and it was good kind of banter between us. And then everybody else we brought in has just made it wilder and crazier than it's ever been, you know. And everyone who listens to it is just like, oh, I love this one. Oh, no, I love when you go off on a rant. Or I love when Trey's calls in, she has a crazy song. Or Sean will ring up and he'll have this crazy, scientific theory that's really popular that week. And we'll kind of discuss it, but I'm dumb as shit. So I'll put a really stupid spin on it and he'll be like, correct me on it. It's just, there's loads of different dynamics to it now, which is great to have.
Actually, can I ask you, because I find that with the Snowcast is that oftentimes I listen back on a thing and go you're a fucking idiot, what the fuck have you said, as in no one's gonna like that. And the thing with us as a podcast, we can edit and we can cut stuff, now we very rarely do cut anything from it, unless it's libelous or something like that, but oftentimes I'm like, should we cut that? That's probably horrendous. And then it's afterwards you get perspectives from other from our listeners that are fuck, I absolutely love that bit, you know. And it's just I think it's funny, because something that you think isn't funny or is stupid or whatever can be a completely different take from the listeners. Do you ever get that kind of feedback?
We do the whole thing of obviously we do a live 2-hour show and that's the podcast, and I believe in the whole element of if it's gone out live, why can't I put it up as it is?
Well, you can't take it back if it's gone up live, do you know what I mean?
That's exactly the thing I'm talking about. So if anyone's even tuned in for 5 minutes and then they go back and listen to the whole thing, be like, I remember hearing that. And I've been pulled up, and people will be like, did you cut stuff out? I'm like, no, we don't do it. People will get onto you about stuff if they hear it live. So it's kind of that whole thing. That's what I love about it, is just that we do the live show. People tune into the live show, they text in, they put in requests for songs, and they'll give out to us about stuff. Me and my brother will go on about UFC for a good hour. We take up 2 hours of that whole show just talking about UFC. And we've had people just text in being like, will you shut the fuck up, sucking Conor McGregor's dick, and just fucking... Actually, I'll tell you a brilliant story. So it happens to me every now and again that somebody will just kind of turn around and go, I recognise your voice, you're your man off Open Tempo. Because I'd be one of the main guys on it. I've been doing it for about 3 years or so now. It started happening to me, brother, the last couple months. A couple months ago, what happened to him was talking away in the pub, and a fella turned around and goes, you on Open Tempo? He's like, yeah, I'm here. He goes, 2 minutes. And he goes, what the fuck's going on here? This fella brings over his brother. He goes, me and the brother are up in Cashel doing a job the last 6 weeks. Every Thursday when we come back, we listen to your show. What the fuck is up with you and Yoel Romero? Why do you love Yoel Romero so much? And he was like, man, have you never seen him wrestling when he was in the Olympics? Imagine Adam.
Yeah, I think it's happened to us twice. Actually, it happened to us the last time we recorded in Grady's Yard a couple of weeks ago. A listener, Pat Mann, shout out to Pat. If you're driving up the car to work, how are you getting on? Hope it's a good trip. This guy, Pat, came up and he just gave us a few lovely compliments. So here's to you, Pat. We're fucking clinking the glass to you. Thanks a million for that. So comedian, musician, chancer, lads, give Smurf a follow on Instagram there, because he keeps updating his Tinder bio and putting up on Instagram.
I've really gone to fucking town on them, and I even put up a thing the other day, and it's in my stand up set now. That's all I pretty much use Tinder for now, is actually just putting up really dumb Tinder bios and just seeing what comes out.
I've never been on it, but I can imagine if you are I've never been on it, but I can imagine it's the kind of thing, I don't know, do people even read them?
The funny thing about it is, I'm constantly doing that. But the worst thing is that when I come up with one that I think is funny, I go, no, this is funnier, and I edit it. But the
people I've already matched with are getting updates of this. So it'll be like...
Are they saying like... Smartfest updated his
bio,
is it?
Yeah, it's like a notification thing on it. So that will, like, you'll see me, they will see me put up a bio or whatever, and then I'll go, no, I'll take this word out and replace that, and then that will come up, and then I'll do it something else, and do something else, and then eventually I cut it out and put it up on Instagram and stuff like that.
Top quality. So lad, that's the intro there now. We're going to take a piss break because for some reason my bladder has decided to shrink tonight, and we'll be back with a couple of questions for Smurf, and we'll have a chat around a few bits between the three of us. Thanks a million for staying with us. Here's the tune. Right, lads, so we're back in the room, and we're joined by Owen, joined by Sean Murphy, Thursday show. And lads, I want to put something to you. So, Sean, you've done a lot of stand-up comedy in your time. I want to know, like, you know, obviously there's good stand-up comedians, bad stand-up comedians, just like there's good television comedy shows, sitcoms, bad fucking TV sitcom shows. I'm looking at you, The Big Bang Theory. And I just want to know, what do you think is the key difference between TV comedy and a format like a stand-up comedy or an improv? So, Sean, I'll go to you first as the comic in the group. We're both just fucking idiots.
I suppose I can kind of like, I can talk from my own experience. I encourage anyone, go to a stand-up club or night or whatever. Like, because the thing is, you'll go and see, like say a stage show, like a well-known comedian would do a show in the Theatre Royal of Waterford. And that's a very polished hour show that they're doing. And that's like something you'd see on like Live at the Apollo or all those TV shows that you see. I would encourage everyone to go to a night where it's comedians you never heard of, there's 8 or 9 people on the lineup, and there's people going in there trying brand new stuff. That is like comedy at its rawest form. So that can, and that can be an amazing thing to watch, because you can either watch somebody go up and kill, flatten, like set a room on fire, or you can watch someone die on their arse, which are two like amazing things, two like amazing spectacles to kind of look at. TV comedy is a very different thing. I had a discussion with this about with another comedian recently, and we were talking about what would you do if you were a writer for a TV show or whatever, and you'd be saying to yourself, well, I'm a comedian, so I'm not going to give all my good jokes to this. My good jokes are going to go into my stand-up comedy set. My okay jokes that aren't great, whatever, they'll put it into the TV show, and then somebody will hold up a cue card that says laugh, and everyone will laugh.
Yeah,
it's
so true.
Do you know what I mean? So there's those kind of comparisons. But then again, there's people that like produce TV shows, they know how to do it, and there's people that specifically write TV shows, and that's what they do, and they're amazing at their art form as well. So there is kind of a counterbalance between two. But I'm like, coming from where I'm at with as a performer, and then as my just love of the art, I encourage everyone, go see a stand-up show where you've never heard of anyone on the bill, where it's just like the fella who works in the deli down the road and some fella he works in a factory up there, whatever, and they're doing stand-up, because they could be some of the greatest nights of your life. They wouldn't even realise it, you know.
Well, I think that's a great point, because some lads that you know, you just know from about the place, or some lads you know from the pub scene or whatever, and they'd be brilliant with one-liners and timing. But stand-up comedy is a different thing, because you're telling a story or you're trying to deliver one-liners in a different way. Owen, what do you think about it? TV comedy versus stand-up, where are you at with it?
So like, something that I only kind of learned, say, in the last like 1 or 2 years, was that like, if you're starting off as a stand-up comic, right, like, so like, I suppose like you're like, for us, when we're looking at stand-up comedians and we see them on TV and we see like these, you know, stand-up specials and like Live at the Apollo and all this kind of stuff, like, you know, and they have like these 15 minute sets, but like, as Smurf was saying, like, when you're starting off in comedy, you start off with like a 3 minute, or like a, you know, 3 minute, 2 minute like set. Like, you have your like, you know, 1, 2, 3 jokes that you start off with, and then like, you know, you build on your set, and you're like, okay, you know, like, you try out those 2 or 3 jokes, you know, 2 of them might be good, then 1 of them might be an absolute flop or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then you keep those 2 jokes, and then you try a new joke or whatever, and then
then you have three good jokes, and then you try and build to a 5 minute set, and then you try, you know, so it's this iterative process where like you're building. And I was just like I was listening to this it's like a video game podcast, Kind of Funny, in the States, and like one of the guys on that, Nick, one day he was just like, oh look, I want, like, this is something I want to do, like, you know, he said, like, I find myself kind of funny on this podcast, but like I actually just want to prove myself that I'm actually funny to a live audience and stuff. So anyway, like, he started off and did this thing, like, you know, so like I never like realized the whole kind of process of it, and like, you know, like going out and like building your set and making it bigger. And I was actually what are the boys, Foil Arms and Hog, you know, they do the sketch shows, the improv stuff on Facebook, right? So my girlfriend Kira would be a big fan of them, and like she's always like, oh, have you seen the one about them going to the shops or whatever? And I'm like, no, I haven't, like, I'm like, but like she's like literally addicted to them, like, you know. But so I think it was at last year we went to one of their stand up shows in Theatre Royal in Waterford, and like they had their sets, and like, you know, it was very formulaic and like, you know, rehearsed and everything, as you're saying, like, you know. But then like there was like these aspects come in where like this guy came in late, and like they like, you know, made him put on like a high-vis vest, and like he was the, you know, the marshal and stuff, but they were doing shit on the spur of the moment, like, and like it was a thing whereby like somebody in the Theatre Royal was wearing had a high-vis on, like a marshal there had a high-vis, and that they were like swap with him, you're now the marshal, and you know, you have to give, you know, whoever's the next person who's late in, they're the marshal then, like, you know. And it was this thing, and you could see like it got such like an uproariously good laugh from the crowd that like you could see they were like, this has to go into our show, do you know. And it was just like seeing that like live fucking building of comedy, and like, you know, like that, like, you know, obviously audience interaction and stuff, it's just so, so good, like, you know. And like you don't get that with TV shows, you know,
because it's that whole thing of, you've actually given like a brilliant description to the way like how stand-up comedy is actually written, because it's a fucking weird art form, to be honest with you, because I played in band since I was like 13, right? And when you're in a band, you go into a shed, you practice loads of songs, you go and play. You can't do that with stand-up comedy or improv, as the lads in Foil Arms and Hog do. The whole thing is that I write stuff down and I go, I think that's funny. And the only time I think that's funny is when I go on stage and I find out if it's funny or not.
Yeah,
there is no like doing it into the mirror, or, you know, doing it for two or three people and they say it's funny, right? You have to go out and do it at a gig.
I suppose as well, like, yeah, like if you're practicing it, like, so like with a song, you know, you can, like, I suppose you can, with a joke, you can iterate on it and use a word, gain a word or whatever, but like the joke is ultimately going to be the same, like it's going to be the same punchline-esque, like you can say, like, you know, you can quicken up the joke or you can elongate it or whatever, like, you know, but like, I don't know, you're still just like finding out there and then if it's funny or not, like, and like you're probably going to find it less funny the more you say it to yourself.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But like, that's
kind of the thing of, like, I've been carrying around jokes that I've been doing for years at this stage, like, you know, I started doing stand up about 4 years ago, and I'm still doing so many jokes that, not that I started out with, but came in kind of very early into my set, but I've grafted them and I've done them 101 times in front of audiences, and I found that and I record all my sets and I listen back to them, and I find that, okay, I done that night and that's what works, so that needs to go in as part of it now, and this kind of stuff. And that's what you actually have to do as a stand up is you only find out when you're performing what's actually funny about it, and then you add on to that, and you just kind of slowly kind of cultivate it and craft it into a thing, you know.
I think that's my take on it, is like, you know, I find with stand up comedy it's you're writing your own set, whereas with TV comedy most of the time it's a cast of writers and it's a team of writers, and it's been like basically synthetically formulated to be synthetically funny, like you said, and then there'll be a cue to laugh and all this stuff. Whereas like with stand-up comedy, it's so raw. But I do think as well, that synthetic element is they're kind of there for a lot of, I suppose, major comedians now, because like, I suppose they're full time at it. It's what they do the whole time, and they have it polished to the extent that like they probably do like go do small gigs, test it out. They're afforded the opportunity then to put out a DVD where they've got all the bits that people laughed at small gigs. Whereas you're probably standing in a comedy club somewhere, and you've never said this joke to anyone before. There's probably 40, 50, 100 people in there, and you're up there exposed. Like, you're basically standing there bollock naked.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, say, I mean, like, there's two things that there's there is, like, for the people that do, like, the Live at the Apollos and all that, like, I got a brilliant text at the weekend. Was a fella text me on Friday night and was like, "What are you doing today?" One of the comedian mates in Dublin was like, "Oh, I'm doing a fucking music gig. There's no one in the fucking pub, it's cat." And he just sent me a picture. He goes, "Dylan Moran just came into my gig to do a 5-minute set." I was like, "I fucking hate you so much right now." But Dylan Moran came in to do 5 minutes. He was like, "Right, I want to go in." He literally just walked into the Inter in Dublin and just went, "I want to come in and just do like." So, and they were like, "Do whatever you want. You're Dylan Moran. Like, you have that liability." The other thing then is like, the way I always describe it as, like you said, like, you're basically going out, you have this job and you don't know if it's going to work or not. I always describe it back to when I played in bands. So like, you know, when you're in a band, it's you and three other dudes. Like, and I'd be playing guitar and singing or whatever, probably like a balls of a note or fuck up something on the guitar, it's three other dudes to catch it, it's an easy gig. Do you know what I mean? But I've always described stand-up comedy as tightrope walking. You're either walking on the rope and everything is going good, or you fall off it and it's all fucking gone, you know?
That actually is a beautiful segue, unintentionally, because we don't tell any of our guests any of our topics before they come on. That's a beautiful segue into just the next point I wanted to bring up, and the next thing I wanted to discuss with G2 lads was, like, you're talking about walking a tightrope there. Like, crossing the line in comedy is a very fine line, because, you know, ultimately it is comedy. And take Water for Whisper News, for example, a different form of comedy where they're using satire so often. They're saying very controversial things. The reason they're saying them is to ridicule them and show how ridiculous they are. Like, they've set up a fake politician going for election thing now. Have you seen this thing?
Yeah, it's very funny.
But how, like, so again, Smurf, I'll come back to you on this one first before I go to Owen. Like, how do you balance that, I suppose, being funny, being edgy and being topical with not crossing the line, like, and I suppose especially in say when Frankie Boyle and these edgy lads were out 15 years ago, the world wasn't nearly as PC as it is now. So for you as a fledgling comedian, it's probably a very, very finer line to balance now than it was back in the day.
It's one of those things that I always think of it as, that I do quite edgy stuff, and like, I'll do stuff that kind of touches the line with very kind of delicate topics. The way I try to think about it is, I never try and kick a group that's down on the fucking ground already, because everybody else is already kicking them and it's boring. Do you know what I mean? In terms of like what's kind of edgy and stuff like that, I've seen people that have, like, they watch someone like Frankie Boyle and they just say controversial things just to get attention. And I find that you kind of, the thing you actually want to do is, you don't want to say things just because they're controversial, you want to say things because they're funny. I like to do the thing of, I like to take something that seems in no way funny. How could you get any kind of comedy out of this? And make a joke about that, because that's the hardest joke you'll ever make. You know, how do you take something like that's a huge disaster, or how is something that everyone's so appalled by, how can you drag a joke out of that? If you can drag a joke out of that, I think you're a true comedian, because that's kind of the point of the art form. You're meant to take things that nobody's meant to laugh at and then make them laugh about it. Do you know what I mean? That's the true point of being a comedian, you know?
Oh no, I think that does hit the nail on the head. Like, it's about trying to draw that humour out of a turnip, basically. Like, I'm trying to, I suppose, make people just giggle over something that they shouldn't be giggling over. That, like, I think that's something that I always kind of liked about say, like, certain comedians are always hit the nail on the head with that. Like, I love Darryl Green because he's able to be very complicated with his comedy and use complex ideologies to get it across. So, like, he's funny on a couple of levels. And then you take, like, Tommy Tiernan, who has his lovers and haters, but he has been very funny on the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And that's a very touchy subject, especially in Ireland, and especially when he was doing the circuits, like.
Yeah.
But it comes back to, like I say, that whole idea of that anyone tells you, like, you know, oh, he's done a joke about the Catholic Church, instantly you're like, oh, how could he do that? But then he tells you the joke, not somebody else telling you the joke, because nobody else tells your joke as well as you do. He tells you, you go see him live, you see him do that joke, and you see him making a joke about something that's not meant to be funny, and then you laugh at it. That's the point of stand-up comedy. Absolutely. I find.
Owen, say, like, you've gone to a few comedy gigs, you love a good laugh every now and again. Like, how do you find, because neither of us have you ever done stand up, have you?
Done stand up? No.
Neither have I. Like, so how do you find, as a, I suppose, viewer of stand up comedy, as a customer paying to go in and see somebody tell a few jokes, how do you find that balance of the line, especially in modern society where the line is a lot thinner? Like,
I think As a comedian, you're an artist, and like I think it's part of your trade, and it's part of what you do, and like, you know, it, like, I suppose, yeah, as Smurf is saying, you're not trying to make a joke about a community that's already down in the dumps, or like something that there's no need for a joke to be about, like, you know. And but I suppose the problem is with comedy from people that aren't comedians. So fucking WhatsApp groups where, like, you get like a fucking, I got one today of like a dead rabbit being shagged by a live rabbit, and like, you know, just you know, like, people just like putting this in where like nobody is responding to the WhatsApp group at all, being like, and like, you know, this is like, say, like the 20th attempt of humor by like a person, like, you know, and you're like, all right, like, you're like, this isn't funny at all. Like, so I don't know, I think like you're all like, I don't know, like, humor is meant to bend the fundamentals of reality. You're not like, you're making a joke and you're nearly exaggerating like reality. You're not I don't think you're making fun. Like, it's the same with like 9/11 and stuff. It's like it's such a surreal tragedy that, like, you know, like, tragedy is a humor in Shakespeare and shit, like, you know. So like, I find like that, like you can joke at these things, like, you know, because it's so surreal, like, you know. And it's just, yeah, I don't know, it's just when you get into these like nitty gritty or very like very specific elements, and you're like making fun of someone or something, that like it's you know, it's not funny then, like, you know.
I think like sometimes with the I say sometimes with the far more serious ones, for example, like a 9/11 or something like that's very provocative of emotions and a mass group of people. As long as you don't get personal to a cohort of people, then as long as you generalise, like there's absolutely no problem taking a piss out of Bush over 9/11 or something. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, we don't know what happened there, and all the conspiracy theories. So that is a great opportunity for someone to create humor out of a serious topic,
but also get highlight
that then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's even the thing of like, I've been at a million and one stand-up comedy gigs where I've been performing, and some of the greatest jokes I've ever seen have been about like gender misrepresentation, and, you know, like the death of Princess Diana. I've seen some of them. Like, one of the guys I've seen told me, he said one of the funniest jokes ever about like the death of Princess Diana. It was amazing. I won't ruin it. Andrew Dye, saw him on season going around. Go fucking check him out. He's fucking hilarious. He just had triplets though, but he probably won't be doing a gig for a while. Jesus Christ, imagine having triplets. But like, that is, it's like I'm saying, the whole,
having triplets is another tragedy.
Exactly. But it's that whole thing, it's as I say, like, it's where a tragedy happens. If you can pull a joke out of that, like you're saying, like, you know, 9/11 is like a thing, it's obviously a huge tragedy, just as you mentioned. But I've seen people make brilliant jokes about 9/11. But they're not talking about like the guy who was on the 77th floor in his office writing stuff down. Like, you know, they're making like general jokes around the area of it, and, you know, the groups involved and the politics and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? You kind of like, it's not that you have to tread lightly, it's just you have to go about it the right way. Because like I said, you can just say something for just the sake of being controversial to try and get popular out of it. But if you're just doing that,
you're no better than someone on YouTube who's like, oh my god, I was offended today because someone walked past me and didn't say hello. You know, bullshit. Like, do you know what I mean?
I think as well with especially with the Irish, we can be like made fun of a lot, like, you know, we've like, you know, shite national teams, all this kind of stuff, like, you know. So like, if someone makes fun of us as well, or, you know, there's no greater feeling than being at a live comedy gig and the joke is one of those and then, like, you know, big laughter afterwards, like, you know,
it only takes one gobshite to laugh at that and the rest will follow on, like,
yeah.
It's actually, it's a mad thing that happens at comedy gigs. I call it the crack. So, like, the shows I go to, like, say, no one's ever heard of any of us there.
The C-R-A-C-K, not the C-R-A-I-K. I see.
So, yeah, I call it the crack. And the whole thing is, you really hope the first guy go up and does it. And what it is all these people after coming in, they've never heard of any comedians. A lot of people, it might be their first time at a comedy gig or whatever. And nobody wants to let out the big first laugh because they're self-conscious and you're sat really close. Like, comedy gigs are generally sat really close to people and stuff like that, but you need someone to go up first who's really strong comedian and does a really good joke that makes everyone laugh, because then you get the crack. And what the crack is then is where someone lets out a big laugh, everybody else lets out a big laugh, and then the atmosphere is rolling.
Do you ever put a cedar in the audience?
I haven't, but I have when I've organised gigs. I purposely invited people who have really funny laughs to stay in the audience.
Well, you know, I was just thinking there, like when you're describing that, I can actually feel, as you're saying, like, one person laugh, like, feel my shoulders like relaxing, like less tense, because when you're in a comedy gig, eventually you're tensing up, like, you're like, what the fuck are they going to say? No, that was brilliant, lads, because it is a delicate subject, crossing the line. Like, it is really, I think we summed it up really well there and curled it well. I have a very random topic for you. We're in the month of February. This episode is still coming out in February, isn't it, Chad? Yeah, Monday, yeah. And I've no idea where we are. Like, my sense of what date it is has just completely lost me in the last couple of weeks. January went down for about 18 weeks. And I just want to know, right? Recently, we've had a national holiday, but we didn't get a day off work for St. Bridget's Day. But we get a day off work for Paddy's Day. More sexism in the Catholic Church. Right. Should Ireland have a national holiday for St. Bridget, or do they only not have it because she's a woman? Owen.
No, they shouldn't. Like that. Like.
Need a sensible one amongst us.
Like Bridget is sound, like, you know, and like.
She's good with a read.
Yeah, like the crack when you're like if you're a primary school student, day off, like, because you're at that cross all fucking day long, like, aren't you?
I'll be honest, right? Okay, maybe not a day off, but at least homework. Off. Come on, now.
Yeah. So I don't know, like sure, like Paddy's Day shouldn't be a day off, like, only that. Wasn't there some cardinal, an Irish cardinal, I think, back in the day, that was like
with the Borgia.
Yeah, some Irish cardinal who was like, oh, here, that's fucking Paddy's Day to the Pope, like, and the Pope was all over it, like, because this fella was in his ear the whole time. Like, now I can be making absolute shite up here, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of how Paddy's Day kind of became a national holiday. Like,
I reckon Arthur Guinness had a fucking bat brown paper envelope in there.
Yeah, there was definitely someone like slipping in, because all the breweries at, when is this, like, about the 1800s, 1700s? All the breweries up around Dublin then, and they're thinking we'll turn this into a fucking piss up. We get a parade going, it'd be like New Orleans, where they have all them brass bands and shit like that. We get a party going. Definitely come to brown envelopes.
I definitely
charge known for that.
I definitely think, like, they're like it's sure, it's only a piss up. Like, that's all that Paddy says. Like, I, like, do you know, like,
come back to topic. St. Bridget's Day. Should we be having a piss up there too? It's the perfect day. 1st of February, like you're over the 8 week January.
Can I just
your liver's just recovered.
Can I just ask one question? What day does St. Bridget's Day fall on?
1st February.
1st February, what day?
It depends on the year.
Will we get a bank holiday?
This year.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
would we get a bank holiday?
This year.
But like, that's what the feminists should be arguing over.
Yeah. But anyway, Biddy, like,
she's Soundbird, like, she doesn't want to cross everything.
Soundbird, yeah.
She doesn't want
to cross. All obscure, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. She taught the people.
Who is there one with the ever growing cloak?
Are you sure this isn't a Harry Potter character?
No, you know the one who's just like, oh, you know, I'll take a field the size of me cloak.
And I vaguely remember what you're on about.
Yeah.
Saoirse Ronan. We've made
mistakes. Yeah.
That's how she got the fame. She inherited a load of Land Rover frontage.
So, yeah, anyway. No is my answer.
You say no, we should.
I always knew
he was a sexist pig.
I
generally, right? If we are a Catholic country, which, you know, a declining amount of the population, but still a significant amount of population say we are, and we have a patron saint in Patrick, and we have a patron saint in Bridget, and we have, I think we have another patron saint that nobody knows about. But like, Bridget is a prominent patron saint. She has the day and everything. So like, if Patrick's Day is a national holiday, I don't see why Bridget's Day isn't. Now, I know what you're saying, the economy probably can't handle another national holiday, but like, 1st of February is a great time to have a day off. It's a great period of the year.
Well, I mean, like, even when you think about it, 1st of February, it's called bank holiday out of that. And everyone was doing dry January. And you were running into a bank holiday then.
Here we go, smart, if you have it.
That's what I'm saying, we could call it Hepatology Friday or something like that.
Yeah, but imagine that, like, it looked great. Obviously, I've seen it, man. Like I've been gigging in places and stuff like that. Bars just aren't as busy anymore unless there's something on in February. Like, do you know what I mean? The last couple of weeks. But that would definitely, I think that would be amazing. If we got a bank holiday running into February, everyone could go off to beer. That would take over Paddy's Day.
But you're like 6 weeks into Paddy's Day then, like, you're 6 weeks ahead of Paddy's Day. So here's my overall vision for it. You've got Christmas, New Year, toned down. Bridget's Day, toned down. Paddy's Day, summer.
What do you think?
Easter. Paddy's Day, Easter or something.
What you could do is you take the January off after all the crazy drinking over Christmas and New Year. Bridges Day kicks in, the training kicks back. You start doing the circuits with the points again.
It's pre-season for Paddy.
Pre-season, yeah. Pre-season.
Pre-Paddy's Bridges Day. But then the feminists give out about that, like, no, part of the proper season. I think St. Bridges Day should be a legitimate thing. I think I've convinced you on.
Yeah, I think so, actually. I'm all for it. So are you saying now that Christmas, as in Jesus' Day, is the new pre-season for Biddy's Day?
No, what I'm saying is Christmas is like the Champions League final.
Okay. January is the off-season.
Yeah, January is July. Yes.
And then pre-season?
St. Bridget's Day could be like the Charity Shield.
Okay. So we're talking mid-January and then pre-season, isn't it? Threatening
to do things rather than doing them. Yeah, when you crack on dry January and you're like, fuck this. Yeah. I want to go out to the fucking pub. But this time watching bullshit on telly.
This ties in with something. I was talking to Sonia, one of our friends that's been on the Snowcast before. Me and Sonia went for dinner there last week, and we were saying everybody should go on holidays in January. So January could be like your pre-season tour to the States or something like that. Your pre-season tour Lanza, like, you know.
Or
something like that, like,
or,
yeah.
Or a caravan in Tremor, depending on your budget.
Yeah, depending on, yeah, exactly. Although, Lanza's not too bad these days.
I tell you what, it's probably cheaper than Tremor. Them fucking amusements.
Them slots to fucking get you, like.
Them slots to get you, yeah, yeah.
We got a lot more Bridges than the time. To be fair, we start wrapping it up there, lads. Just like there at Anfield, they'll all fucking disappoint tonight for Liverpool. I'm not watching that. Smore, if you have a new club come now, I believe.
I do, sir. So, at the time of recording today, I was actually sitting down with the guys in the road gallery. People in Waterford will know it. It's the place that's just across from the Hub Bar. We're looking at setting up what is basically
and making
a club set in the style of, like, if anyone's been to New York or London and places like that, the way clubs and open mics are set up there, that people go in to do a 5 minute spot, it'll be new material or people just starting out and stuff like that. And details of that are going to be coming up very soon and all that. We're looking to start that March 11th. It's going to be a Monday night.
Just in time for Paddy's Day.
Exactly. And but the idea with it is we're trying to, like, help build a comedy scene in Waterford, because there isn't very much going on with it at the moment. And I do want to see, like, because, like I say, I meet a million and one people. I think they're funny as fuck. I think they could I think they're funnier than a lot of people that I meet in stand up circuit. Not the people I know and do gigs with. You're all cool, but other people, meh. But there's still, yeah, but there's people I know in Waterford that are absolutely hilarious. I love to see them doing stand up. I love to see more Waterford people do, because we have a brilliant sense of humour here. You know what I mean? Talk about Irish people being, like, self deprecating and being able to put it to other people. Waterford people are the best at doing that, they're more so than anyone I've ever met in my whole life. So the idea of it is we're going to have a form up on the Road Gallery page very soon. If you've ever thought of doing stand up or you know a friend or anything like that, refer them to it. You just put your name down and there'll be 20 slots on the night. Everybody gets 5 minutes. Everybody's going in doing the same thing, man. Everyone's either starting out or trying out some material they never tried out before, and it's going to be a really cool, sportive atmosphere, and we just want to get people involved and help build a comedy scene, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's brilliant. I can't wait to go up and make a fool of myself.
Yeah. Would you be up for it? Would you?
We'd have a crack off it for the laugh, like, you know, I'd make an absolute dope myself. I wouldn't know where to start, but I'd definitely be up for it.
I would put it to you, as a snowcast and as a challenge to you, would you get up and do 5 minutes?
Yeah. Is there alcohol allowed on the premises?
Bring your own cans.
BYOC. No, that sounds amazing. Oh, look, definitely we'll support you in that and fucking. Might show up and fucking tell a few jokes. They'll be terrible, like, but. Speakers have kicked in there, so we start wrapping up. But I can't wait to show up. Can't wait to go and have a look at a few other EJs making, like, gobshite themselves as well. But I'll definitely make it up myself on stage as well. Look forward to that now.
Yeah, so will I. Like, it's an idea of flirting with over time as well. Like, you know, like doing stand up and stuff, like, you know, because. It just always seems like such an attractive thing, like, just like, I've always been a fan of making an absolute easy of myself anyway, so, like, might as well get somebody else laugh at me anyway, like, instead of,
you could just get up on stage and do the Michael Flatley routine that you did at the More Christmas party. It'd be fucking brilliant. Anyways, lads, I've actually had a fucking lovely evening here, and Tully's been absolutely fucking magic. Smurf, we'll definitely have you on again. This has been a fucking pleasure. And if you're ever stuck for a slot in Thirsty Thursday, give us a shout. You never know what we're doing.
Absolutely, lads, no matter. I look, like I said, I'd stick you to doing a 5 minute set. Start right now, like, you got like a month. So
you got a month for 5 minutes.
This time next month, I need to come up with 5 funny minutes. Some lads would say, since this launched in September, I haven't put 5 funny minutes together. 30 odd episodes. So listen, lads, another episode of Snowcast. Again, if you listen to the podcast, you don't follow us on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter, we get more listeners than we have followers on any of those social media. So, like, please like us. If you're on iTunes, rate us, give us a 5. If you don't give us a 5, you're a cunt. And if you're on anything else, if you can rate us or subscribe or whatever, have a look. Like we mentioned in previous podcasts, we'll be doing the videos, they'll be coming out soon enough. Just basically, we're a bit tech tarded and trying to figure out how to edit videos at the moment. But you look, all we are is a bunch of fucking idiots just went on off time in our hands. Looking forward to all that coming up. Thanks a million for staying with us. Shingling the Snowcast, launching a fall. See you next week, you bastards.
When we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.